All right, welcome to Ask the Mayor. Here we are in Kokomo with Mayor Greg Goodnight. Thanks again for meeting up with us this end of the month.
Always my pleasure.
Hate to start with a tragedy, but looking back this past week, it's been a little more than a week since the Orlando shooting, and I see Kokomo, like many other cities across the state, held vigils for those who died. How was the turnout, and how was the community responding to this national tragedy?
Yeah, well, I think the impact here in Kokomo is probably about the same as it is across the country. A little bit of disbelief, a lot of disappointment, and frustration. I don't think it, in fact, I know it only hurts the cause when you have a presidential candidate going out, making flamboyant statements, divisive statements that only encourages people to act out and lash out and do harmful things. And so that rhetoric, it needs to be toned down. I don't think it will be toned down, but it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. What goes through your mind as a mayor when something like that happens?
Well, having went through a couple of tornadoes, through a devastating flood, we've had some tragedies, obviously not near to that scale. I watch and see how they respond, and obviously you have sympathy for how, even though they go to the mayor or they go to community leaders, you're somewhat limited on how you can help the situation and how you start thinking back what could we have done differently, how could we have prevented this. And again, I think we've seen some damage being done throughout the state. There was an incident down in Plainfield, a couple with religious overtones, and I think that's a big part of it. We have to, as leaders, we have to try to be the calming voice sometimes, and we're not seeing that on the national level. We've seen a lot of finger pointing this year.
Well, and now the talk has turned to gun control, and we see the Senate had a few measures that didn't pass. Is that part of the problem in your mind, or is it or not?
Well, I fail to understand. I don't understand the logic that if someone is on a terrorist watch list, and they're not, they give them orders that a no fly order. They can't. We're not going to allow them to board an airplane, but yet they're still able to buy guns. When they have been recognized and called out for being someone that's on a terrorist watch list, why they can still, if they can't fly on an airplane, why would we allow them to purchase a gun? That one I struggle with the logic behind not putting going a little step further there. That one bothers me.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton last week said, quote, that this is a place where our politics has simply collapsed. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. It's what's interesting. And hypocrisy always comes into play. And it's interesting. They had this big debate on the Republican National Convention this year, where would they allow firearms into the convention in Cleveland? And it was interesting that the same politicians that say we need more guns to make our community, it's safer if we have more guns, they want to limit guns in their own conventions. And I would think if that logic is good for the general public, it would be good for Republicans at their national convention. I struggle with the governor's position on this. I go down to the state house, multiple times during the legislative session. The first thing I have to do is go through a metal detector. You would think if they believe the general public in public spaces, parks, even private businesses and clubs, if you believe we're safer with more guns, why does the governor not allow them in the state house? Why do they stop us at the state house? I struggle with the hypocrisy that they share. So
I see where plans are moving ahead for, I believe it's a 26-acre solar farm in the area, but there's a little bit more to the story about where it's being placed, though, right?
Yeah, it's a nice redevelopment project. This is on part of the former Continental Steel Superfund site. Going back, this Continental Steel closed in March of 1986, but it was a prominent employer here for decades. And there's a large parcel. The city acquired that parcel a couple of years ago, and there's been, how do we redevelop it? And now we have the opportunity to turn it into a renewable energy source with solar panels, and that will take up a big, not the entire parcel, but a big portion of it. And so the city will get a little bit of money on a lease agreement. We're not talking millions of dollars, but we're talking every year tens of thousands. And we no longer have to provide the maintenance and the mowing and the upkeep of the parcel. So it will save taxpayers a little bit of money, as well as bring in a little bit of revenue for the city. And on top of that, it helps with our carbon footprint, and is part of what we're trying to do to prepare and prevent climate change. And we've been on a tree planting frenzy for a few years now, and this ties into that mindset.
And we covered a story about, I think it was a much larger though, a solar farm down near Columbus, Indiana, where area residents were upset about a solar farm, thinking that it'd be too noisy, that there's a hum, or that it would take property values down. Does that come up here at all?
Well, no, it didn't here. I'm not sure of the location and what was in close proximity down in Columbus. This is an area, there's residential, not adjacent to the property, but not too far away. In the Miller Highland neighborhood, there's some residential, maybe less than a quarter mile or so. But we haven't heard concerns or any discussion that would compare to Columbus, I guess.
Are there any grassroots efforts for solar power just in Kokomo in general?
We have some small business owners that have put solar panels on their rooftops. Sunspot Natural Foods, I know they have solar panels on top. We have a lot of small individual businesses that have invested over the last 5-10 years, and so you see them pop up every now and then on homes and in small businesses. So
I see you've announced a new development, Market Street Townhomes. I haven't seen a proposal though like this in Kokomo. It seems different from what we've seen before.
It is. Everything we're trying to do is to make Kokomo the best place for all demographic groups, and that could be the retiring baby boomers, millennials, young families, recent college grads, our veterans that may return back to Howard County. We need to make sure we provide housing opportunities for all demographics. That may be, for some people, that's affordable apartments. For some, it's small, two-bedroom homes. For some, it's a larger home on a larger lot in a more suburban setting. But we also need to make sure we have townhomes. And this is our first urban townhome project. It's right behind the YMCA on the same lot that it was built on. Construction is going to begin very soon, and they hope all things sometime in late spring of 2017 to have them completed. I've been told that the total of 12 units in this project, four of them have already been pre-sold, so we're excited.
And is there retail too?
It does have a retail aspect to it that will be on the south side of the project facing Sycamore Street, and then so there'll be first floor retail, and then above that will be three condominiums. So.
Is there a demand for retail, or is it more of that this is more for future, looking ahead?
I don't know if they have a tenant for the retail. I know, I think they feel like there's a, the occupancy rate's very high here in Kokomo, especially in the downtown area. So yeah, I think they're probably, if there's not a demand right now, I think there will be when they open in the spring.
And is this a private investment?
Private investment, yes. Local developer, Fortune Management, and they build homes and do probably more commercial work, but they do residential as well. And I think the price tag's somewhere between $2 and $2.5 million on the project.
And this is something that I see a study that was done that the private investment for businesses has gone up.
It has.
Right?
We're one of the local newspapers just did a story this week that talked about the number of building permits and the value of those permits, and that includes expansions to small businesses, and it might even include building permits for somebody adding a garage. But the big ones were new home permits. Last year was the best year we'd had it in a decade, and we are exceeding that already this year. So we're on track to bypass last year's numbers sometime this fall. So we're very excited that we're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, and we see that the number of homes have significantly dropped since the recession. It's part of a nationwide trend, but according to the Indiana Business Research Center, Kokomo, Columbus saw the greatest increase from 2014-2015, 13 to 12%, which is good for sellers, but not as good for those who are trying to buy
right.
homes.
Right.
What's contributing to that demand?
Well, we think, the investments we've made, I like to say that if a community is not willing to invest in itself, then don't expect others to either. So we've made those investments in our parks, our trail system, a new YMCA, a new baseball stadium, remodeling City Hall. We've invested in those in those public dollars into amenities that attract people, and now I think we're beginning to see the benefits of that. So. Like I say, and even though it is makes it tougher for people that are buying because home values go up, but we want home values to go up. That's why people buy homes. If they were losing money consistently, and then no one would buy. But so that's a good thing. The other part is we're also even because it's becoming more expensive, we are focusing on the affordability of apartments and affordable housing. We're doing both, and we want. People with a good income to live here, but we also recognize that people that are just starting out and maybe in a transition period of their life that they need quality housing too. So we're trying to focus on that as well.
I see where Hillary Clinton will address the annual meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. That's downtown Indianapolis on Sunday. Are you going to be there?
I probably will not.
Oh, okay.
It's the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Congratulations to Mayor Hogsett for getting to host that this year. But I have family in from out of town this weekend that don't make it here too often. So I will be staying here in town with them.
What do you think she's going to talk about?
Well, I hope she talks about real urban policy and how the federal government and I always say this with our state, we don't have a statewide. Indiana does not have an urban policy. How we can help, people want to live in urbanized areas overwhelmingly. Not everybody, but demographics show that a large proportion of the people want to live in cities that have certain amenities. And our state's urban policy is non-existent. How do we assist our cities? Now they put in the regional cities, the legislature and the governor passed that last year. That's good for three regions, but that doesn't address the other 10 metropolitan areas in the state, and it definitely doesn't help some of the smaller cities that are the county seats in some of these rural areas. That's what's missing. So I hope she addresses what the federal government can do. I try to remind people that the best thing I can do for the Kokomo that I can do or that Kokomo can do to help the small cities and towns around Kokomo is for us to be successful. you know, the better the better Bloomington does, the better Nashville will do, or Ellettsville. The better Kokomo does, that helps Galveston and Sharpsville and the small communities around us. So that's what we're trying to do. For the better we are, we'll help the region.
And some other news, I see you have a new deputy mayor.
I do.
How did that come to be?
Randy McKay, who was the city's first official, officially titled deputy mayor, retired. Now Randy's going to stay on as the Board of Works chair. So congratulations to him on his retirement. But he'll still be active somewhat in a lesser role. And David was working in our Department of Development, and he was also the Democratic chair for Howard County. Because of that new job, he is going to resign officially here in a couple days as the Democratic chair, so he can focus a little more responsibility as deputy mayor. So we're excited for him, and he's been a good public servant, and I think he'll do and serve the I think he'll serve the community well.
What kind of challenges does he have in store for him?
You know, our biggest challenge, we have a great story. I say one of Kokomo's, we're doing well when you look at the overall picture, when you look at crime rates, the fiscal health of the city, the investment, private investment that's taking place. You look at the big issues and we're doing well. That one of the things we struggle with is marketing. I don't think we tell our story well enough. We've looked at the things, affordability, and Kokomo is if not the most affordable city in the entire state. We still have not implemented things like trash fees. Our sewer rates are less than any in the north central part of the state. So it's very affordable. You can live here, have a high quality of life, and still have access to a lot of great things, whether it be in Indianapolis or Chicago. We can make it to the, I can make it down to the Indianapolis, an international airport in about an hour. And so if I want to go see the world, I can live here affordably and use that, and when I have a little money, if I want to go see the world, I can afford to do it.
And Independence Day coming up here, besides baseball and soccer, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, we have obviously the Jackrabbits baseball, Kokomo Mantis, our PDL soccer team. They've got a few games coming up. This holiday weekend, we have our free summer concert series that has taken off. Last week, we had Tone Loc for a free concert in downtown Foster Park. This holiday weekend, we have, for the Haynes Apperson Festival, we have Smash Mouth on Friday night and Bret Michaels on Saturday night. So we expect big crowds down there for a free concert. So it'll be a circus-like atmosphere down there with the rides downtown and the concerts. But we have a good lineup this year. The Fabulous Thunderbirds are playing a free concert later in the summer, and Robbie Krieger, the original Doors guitarist, will be playing the hits from the Doors this summer. And so we're excited about, and we have a few other acts as well that should be a good lineup.
We do have an email from Bob. He writes in and wants to know if there's anything being done to improve the internet options in Kokomo. He says, if you look at the map of technology broadband, you'll see that most of Kokomo is covered by fiber optic cables. Are there any plans to use the existing cable in Kokomo to create a municipal internet service provider?
We have had preliminary discussions about that. To be completely honest, it is not probably in that top 10 list of things that we have to address immediately. Like most things, I think it's a great question. I think, like most things, it comes down to priorities and budgetary constraints. And which do you get the best bang for your buck? But it is something that is on our radar screen.
And just to follow up on Bob's email here, he says, seeing that the fiber optic cables were paid by the taxpayer, he thinks that it would attract tech industry and source of jobs.
No, he's right on track, and he's exactly right with the philosophy and the mindset. It is just there are a lot of preliminary, behind the scenes, and like I say, budgetary issues that we have to, you know, a lot of things to work out the details. But those are the things that take long-term planning. For example, the solar farm you mentioned earlier is something that I think that was a three-year project. It was, you know, wasn't decided on just a whim. So those are things we're doing kind of the background research. The challenge too is to make sure we do it right as technology changes very, very quickly, and in some ways becomes more expensive, but in a lot of ways becomes less expensive. We have to make sure before you make that investment, it's the best product out there.
What else?
We're excited. This year we're hosting the Prospect League All-Star Game. So that will take place just after the 4th of July weekend. So we'll have all 12 teams and their supporters coming here. So we'll get to showcase Kokomo for a couple of days. And then next week we host the state's Redevelopment Commission. They're having their annual conference here in Kokomo. Now I think it's just a two-day event, but you'll have people that that focus on redevelopment, which is a part of our priority, and the people that are coming, they're coming because we've been outspoken proponents of redevelopment. How do we take advantage and leverage every economic opportunity we have to make sure that we leverage it to the fullest extent? We get the new development, but we also clean up a piece of blighted area. So we're excited to showcase what we've done here.